Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Welcome to Drive Time Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios. Football Tuesday, we're back after a little hiatus, but now we have literally, Vinny, reached the dog days of summer when it comes to football. There's nothing for a few more weeks.
No, we got about 5 weeks of people being on vacation before the training camp schedule starts, and about third week of July, it picks right back up, right? But yeah, it'll be pretty slow here for a while.
But with that being said, are you surprised at the level of talent that is still available? Players still looking for teams here on June 20th? Because there's a lot out there.
There is, but there was a lot less movement this year. We're seeing teams try and re-sign their own, huge mega deals. You're not seeing a lot of that this year. Seems like, you know, the salary cap, I think it started a couple years ago, right? When they had the drop in the salary cap with no CBA and they didn't know what it was going to be. And I think there were some cleaning of the books this offseason. I think a lot of teams did it.
You know, contracts in the NFL. The NFL is a league that I'm starting to envision. It's getting younger, and teams want to fill the back half of the roster with young talent. So you look at a guy like Ngakoue is still available, right? Hopkins is still available. Hopkins may still be available due to his own reasoning.
Right.
Same with Dalvin Cook. I mean,
That it's Ngakoue, too. I'm sure he's got calls.
Maybe, because Jadeveon Clowney is still available as well, yeah. And I have to believe that the market has really started to go cold for Jadeveon Clowney over the last couple of years. The production hasn't matched the name. But I was looking at some of the best free agents still available. Dalton Risner still available out there as well. Like, there's offensive line is such a crucial part, and there's even productivity there. I am a little bit surprised. Here we are in June, and we're seeing, you know, I'm not surprised at like Marcus Peters, okay, because he's an aging defensive back, a couple of major injuries, right? That doesn't surprise me. But there are some talented guys out there of age, you know, they're not even 30 years old yet, that don't have a team, and that's surprising to me.
Is it? I mean, how many of these guys have gotten calls and they're waiting for the right moment, right? They're just waiting. Well, wait for a better team to call me. They're waiting for injuries to see if there's a starting job open. Why rush into it? If you're Dalvin Cook, why rush into anything?
Yeah, that's fair. I think that the timing of the Dalvin Cook release was a little different, right?
Yeah,
I mean, typically
it was
you
weird.
See this at the beginning of free agency. You don't see it in June.
Right, that was a little different. But, you know, look at these positions, too. A lot of these guys, like Ngakoue, how much does he have to learn on a defense?
Nothing.
You can sign on Wednesday and play on third down on Sunday.
Right.
You know, Hopkins. You know, a lot of these receivers, a lot of these patterns are the same.
Did you buy Hopkins to New England?
Yes.
Do you?
Yeah, that's the kind of project we've seen Belichick take over a lot of times. Right.
Yeah, and you can call him a project. You can call him a project now, yes.
Yeah.
The difference is when you would take on a project, you know, 10, 12 years ago, you were a Super Bowl contender and you just got better and you're putting this player in an environment surrounded by Super Bowl champs. That's not the case. This is the worst team in that division.
They're not a bad football team.
But, I mean, let's be real. 8 years ago, you bring in Hopkins with Tom Brady, and we're like, there he goes again.
There he goes again, yeah.
It was the same thing with Randy Moss. You don't have that feeling anymore.
No, not at all, no.
Changes a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. Mac Jones is not proven to be a really good NFL quarterback, let alone in the discussion with, you know, the greatest of all time. So there is a drop-off there.
Another guy that is still available, if you want to talk about third-down rush, Melvin Ingram is still available. But again, this is a guy that's 34, 35 years old. A little bit different, right?
You know, he's got a call, and he's probably waiting until somebody gets injured, and then they call and they say, hey, we'll sign you on Monday. You can probably play a third down package on Sunday. He knows how to rush a quarterback.
Sure.
You know, these aren't guys like, you know, a safety or a linebacker, you know, having to learn coverages and the fronts and all that. He's playing D end. He's going to play 40% of the snaps, and he's going to rush the passer. So he can take his time before he signs a deal.
So who's the best free agent out there still?
I think it's Ngakoue. I really do. This is a guy that has proven production. This isn't a one-year wonder. This guy's averaging over his career, I think it's 8 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's on the right side of 30.
Yeah.
He's been a consistent performer. Now, let's be honest. His role is going to be limited, too, because his metrics, his career against the run, is bad. He is not a good run defender. So again, he's just biding his time. Someone's going to call and say, hey, we've had an injury, or we want to juice up our pass rush. We're a playoff team. Are you interested in playing for a playoff team? And he's going to say, yeah.
Okay, now this next one I throw out at you, we'll kind of use it as a segue as we start talking divisions. And Dalvin Cook is still available. And again, this is a guy that's going to pick his spot. He gets to be choosy. He's a free agent. He can do what he as he would like. But I also believe it's a clear indication to how the running back position is now valued. The idea 3 years ago that Dalvin Cook would be a free agent in the middle of June? Come on. I mean, this guy was one of the elite running backs in the NFL, and Minnesota paid him to go away. He's not a troubled guy. It's not as if he's causing issues that we know of, right, in the locker room. It was a high price tag for Dalvin Cook. That's what it was.
And the value's not there. They're just not seeing it. Austin Eckler, you know, one of my guys there in L.A., he tried to force his way into a trade, and he got no takers.
Right.
Because nobody was going to pay him what he wanted. And that's just the that's the landscape of the NFL running back nowadays.
So
where does he go?
Denver.
Yeah, that's a nice choice.
That's my segue, because now we can start talking divisions. And when I look, I have to believe that the Denver Broncos, Sean Payton, Russell Wilson, boy, it just makes sense for Dalvin Cook, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a nice fit. I like it. I'll tell you what, I like a fit with your Rams. It's not like he has to learn the offense. He's coming from O'Connell's.
Yeah, but I don't know. Cam Akers is back for one more season. They've kind of invested into Kyren Williams. I don't know. You know, it's not. You may be onto something here, because I don't know that it's necessarily a coincidence that Dalvin Cook gets released and the Rams do some cap work and they turn Cooper Kupp, restructure his deal, and all of a sudden they have $10 million in free cap space. It's not a coincidence. They did that for a reason. Now,
Dalvin Cook does not have to study much of that playbook.
No, he doesn't.
He was in it last year. He's productive. But I do like your segue. I like your point. Excuse me. I like your point with Denver. And Denver needs some mojo, right? Denver's been one of the bad franchises the last couple of years. I know Denver fans see them as one of the greatest franchises in NFL history, and it hasn't been that way. They haven't been very good for quite some time. So, you know, for Sean Payton, he's got to find some juice. Do I think he's a fit if the Williams kid is healthy? No, because I think the Williams kid's pretty good.
Dynamic.
Really like that kid. And so, again, with the value of running backs, why pay a second running back a ton of money?
Mm-hmm.
But, again, Williams is coming off a torn ACL, so this is a good fit. Well, let's talk about Denver. You know, there's some juice. Sean Payton is a known name. Sean Payton's had success in the NFL. Sean Payton's a villain to a lot of people. There's a lot of Sean Payton guys out there. There's a lot of non-Sean Payton guys out there.
I'm a non-Sean Payton guy. And to clarify, it's not necessarily even with Bounty Gate. I've always had a problem with that, and I think I always will have a problem with it. 1 year suspension, a lot of people would say, boy, that was pretty drastic. I don't know if it was drastic enough.
That was pretty bad. And then, you know, and the covering up of it was worse.
Yes.
You know, we've seen this time and time again. Me and you have talked about this time and time again in the NFL. When you lie to the commissioner, it's bad.
And then you take into consideration that he had three really good teams. He had a Hall of Fame quarterback. And when I look at the shortcomings for the New Orleans Saints in the postseason, it was, to me, it was a direct correlation to Sean Payton. It wasn't something stupid that happened. You go back to the flub up with Minnesota. Why are you in the coverage that you're in? You go back to the loss to the Rams in the NFC Championship game. The game's over. Yep. And for whatever reason, you decide to throw the football on first down and complete pass stops the clock. Pass interference be damned. Should have never been in that situation to begin with. And then I believe it was the following year, if I'm not mistaken, they lost again to Minnesota in the postseason. Horrible coverage. I remember it was at the top of the screen. You had Kyle Rudolph man-to-man coverage. It was an easy throw for Kirk Cousins. And then you sweep Tom Brady in the regular season. You let him come into your field and beat you in the postseason the year after that. There were 4 years where I can correlate New Orleans shortcomings to Sean Payton. And that's my problem, biggest problem at this stage in his career with Sean Payton.
And after the suspension, he never made it back to the Super Bowl.
No, never.
He never did. Now, do I think Denver gave up too much? You know, no, because you're trying to be relevant, right?
I agree.
And Denver, let's be honest, they had a big swing and a miss with Russell Wilson. They've overpaid. They gave up the draft picks. He's never going to work out to what they gave up for him. Do I think he's improved this year? Yes. Do I think he's a top 15 quarterback? Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe. Is he a top 10? No.
No.
Do I think he ever will be? No. Now, Sean Payton has a master's in quarterback coaching. Let's be honest, he does. And so let's see if he brings that out in Russell Wilson. Do I think they, lost some stuff on defensive end? Yes, I do. On the defensive side of it, I do. But there's some talent there, let's be honest.
If we're talking about Denver,
there's some talent there. Surtain is incredible.
Yeah, there's pieces.
Simmons is a great player. The receiving core.
Yeah, it's good.
Patrick comes back.
It's good.
Cortland Sutton. So Jerry Jeudy took a step last year.
Yep.
Do I think the O-line's bad? Yes. Do I think they have enough pass rush? No. Do I think they're real competitive and finish third or fourth in division? Yes.
And you could finish third or fourth in this division and still be a pretty good football team.
Absolutely.
And that takes us to the Raiders. Let's go to the Raiders. We'll transition from the Broncos to the Raiders. And here's a team they finished. They had a better record than the Broncos last year,
yep.
Right? They went 6-11, so they were a game better. Top storyline for the Raiders all offseason, it's been Jimmy Garoppolo. Are we ever going to see the Jimmy Garoppolo era? Derek Carr's time is done. This feels like this truly feels like Josh McDaniels' team now. Right, the identity of it fits a little bit more than it did last year. I feel like we can officially scrap the John Gruden era. Like, it's gone.
It's gone.
The Mike Mayock era, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's finished. So now Josh McDaniels finally has something that resembles a Josh McDaniels-type team. Let's see if round two of the McDaniels coaching era is better than round one, because it was dreadful in Denver. And he burned a lot of bridges, I think, on his way to Las Vegas.
Yeah, he did. And they didn't play great last year.
No, they didn't.
Let's be honest, it's not like he did a great job. But let's be honest. So there's three big keys here for me for the Raiders, and it's going to be three guys. It's going to be the rookie edge player, the big kid out of Texas Tech, the Wilson kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he gets something next to Crosby, it'll help that defense, because they were dreadful.
They were
dreadful.
So you got Wilson, you have Jones, you have Crosby. They're going to be able to get to the quarterback.
Yes.
They should be able to.
They should be able to push the quarterback, which should help the back end. I still don't think there's anything on the back end. I think their back seven is one of the worst in football. I think there's some offensive talent, no doubt. I think if Garoppolo's healthy, I think at tight end there's some talent. I think Jacobs is a player. Renfro and Devontae Adams. I think if Garoppolo's healthy and he plays all 17 games, the offense will be improved. I do believe that. I think they're going to take fourth in division? Yes.
I would agree with that. It's probably close with Denver. They're both probably hovering around the 6-8 game mark. Because I think Denver is going to be better. They're going to be better, regardless of my thoughts of Sean Payton. Is any improvement over Hackett? Yes. Will this team be better just from a roster standpoint? Yes. The one thing I would say to Raider fans, though, to maybe feel optimistic, the Raiders did play 500 football over the final 8 games last season.
Mm-hmm.
They also played 500 football within the division.
Yeah.
And that accounts for something. They were game every week. And that was with a dreadful defense. The defense has improved, and I thought they had a very competent draft. Not something we've been able to say very often.
Yeah, that's the first time in a very long time, and I do like the first two picks a lot. So I think there's – and again, taking fourth in that, that might be an 8-9 football team,
it's possible.
7-10 football team.
It's possible.
And we know the difference in the NFL these days. Between 7-10 and 10-7 is 4 or 5 football plays.
Right.
I mean, literally 4 or 5 plays. So – do I think they'll be improved? Yes. Do I think they'll be game in every game? Yes, I do, because McDaniels does coach well offensively. But I still think with a gut feeling they win 7 games, they take fourth in division.
Talk about your Chargers. I don't know that there's a seat hotter in the NFL than Brandon Staley. Maybe McDermott and Buffalo. I think they're both sizzling right now.
They're both sizzling right now.
Here's the thing with the Chargers. You have a kid that should be the MVP. He should be the MVP of the league. Justin Herbert should be the MVP of the league. With the weapons that he has, with the ability that he has to throw the ball downfield and the weapons he has around him, this should be the MVP of the league. Should be.
This is his year to take the team in the back and go. Now, with the Chargers, it's the same old thing. We talk about it ad nauseum. It's horrifying to be a Chargers fan. But last year, there was some legitimate injury issues. You had all pro players not playing. These are all pro players, not just regular players. So a healthy offense, Kellen Moore being there, I think the Chargers kind of switched gears on chasing the Chiefs. The first year it was all about, let's get some defensive guys. Second year was all about special teams players. Third year, Brandon Staley's rebuild. They only added one defensive player that's probably going to be getting meaningful snaps. But they had a lot of offensive weapons. And with Kellen Moore and the offensive weapons they added, it's all about scoring points.
Yeah.
And it's all about scoring points.
Yep.
And they're close. Let's be honest. You know, they're looking at themselves in the mirror. They should be Jacksonville. They had the Chiefs beat twice and found a way to flub it up. And the Chargers just got to get out of their own way and stay healthy. And they'll be a game, and they'll be in every game. Do I think they've overtaken the Chiefs? I got to see it to believe it, so I'm going to say no. I think they take second. They're a 10-11-win football team right now. But do they have the ability to beat the Chiefs? Absolutely.
And when you speak of the Kansas City Chiefs, we have to throw this out there, that in all 5 years of Patrick Mahomes being a starter, they've won 12 or more games. And so if you call the Chargers a 10-11-win team, they probably don't overtake the Chiefs for the division.
They probably don't
overtake the
Chiefs. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And they're going to have to... you know, hey, you're the champs till somebody beats you.
Yep.
And, you know, we said it on the air a lot last year. I didn't believe in the Patrick Mahomes hype. I always knew he was a great player. But until last year, I didn't see the game changing, like, okay, this is for real. He is the best player in the NFL right now.
And we saw it last year.
We saw it last year. Yep. There's no doubt. And, you know, that team, till somebody beats them, they lost a little bit. Let's see what happens. It's Chris Jones thing. Is it going to hurt? Maybe on the edge, they're a little... You know, the pass rush might be lacking. Frank Clark in the playoffs was dynamite. Maybe not in regular season, but in the playoffs. And, you know, the Chiefs just find a way not to screw it up.
Well, yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do.
This is what New England did for so many years. I don't expect Kansas City's reign to last that long. I think in the NFL, when you have a 5 to 6 year window.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
That's incredible.
And I think that we have seen some teams that had 5 to 6 year windows recently. It wasn't just the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. There have been teams that had a 5 to 6 year window. I think we are sitting at year 6 here for Kansas City. It's difficult to do. At some point in time, the ball doesn't bounce your way. At some point in time, you suffer a regular season loss, a game you probably shouldn't have lost that cost you particularly home field advantage. Here's what impresses me, Vinny, against Kansas City. And this is why I think if there's a year for Kansas City to take a step back, it would be this year. I'm always going to compare it to what New England did. It was a horrible division.
Yeah.
New England had a terrible division for years. Yeah. You were guaranteed to go 5-1. 4-2 at the absolute worst. If the Chiefs continue this trend, you're playing in a tough division where you could go 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes the dynamic of everything.
You know, and let's be honest, the Chiefs always take advantage of their opportunities, and they find a way not to screw it up. And you're right, the ball bounces their way.
Yep.
You know, they get home field advantage last year because a kid collapses on a football field.
Yeah.
And it changed the entire scheduling process.
Unfortunately,
they won the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl on penalties that nobody liked. That's how those games ended.
Yep.
That's not the reason they won, but the games they won, they ended on penalties that we hated. You know, and so, you know, Kansas City's going to be there. And as long as they don't screw it up, it seems it's going to go their way. They start to believe that, right?
They start to believe
that.
You're
watching a Chiefs game, and at the end of the game, you're thinking, oh, don't worry about it. They're going to get, Mahomes going to get a roughing call, or, you know, the ball's going to bounce their way. They'll find a way to, just like we watched for years. Oh, Brady's got the ball. It'll fall out of the sky and land in their lap.
Something's going to happen.
They're
going
to win.
Right.
And, you know, fans believe it. The other teams start to believe that.
Referees believe it.
The Chiefs believe it.
Yep.
And so you get that mojo going. It's hard to break that streak. And Andy Reid's been great.
And the biggest question mark for the Chiefs, defensively, they look pretty similar, right?
Yeah.
From last year, it's pretty similar. But letting Orlando Brown walk.
That's a tough one. It's a head scratcher.
It really is, especially with the way they tried to replace it, right? Because Juwan Taylor was brought in to play left tackle. That's since changed. I get that. Paid a lot of money for a right tackle.
Yeah.
Paid a lot of money for a right tackle.
Yeah, that was a bit of a head-scratcher. But again, I think, you know, that's going to be a tough division. These teams are going to beat each other up. Denver always is going to have a weather and an elevation advantage late in the year. You know, their record at home in December versus the rest of their record's always sterling.
Yeah.
The Raiders are starting to get a foothold in Vegas, so you're starting to see a little bit more of that lower end of the stadium, you know, with some hardcore Raider fans. And we'll see. I think Herbert with Kellen Moore could be electric. Especially if Williams and Keenan Allen are both healthy. And then they really like this rookie receiver. So, I mean, the Chargers could be right in this thing. And they were. They have no one to blame but themselves.
Okay, let me throw the over-unders, which have been set here. Chiefs, over-under, 11.5 wins.
Over.
I'm going to take the over as well. Chargers, over 9.5 wins.
Over.
I'm going to take the over as well. Denver, over-under, 8.5 wins.
Ooh. Under.
I got to go with the under because of that half.
The half, yeah.
I can see this.
I think they win 8 games.
Yeah. And then the Raiders, it's set at 7.5 over under.
under.
I'm going to go under as well. They can hover around that 7-10,
and then they're
going to
be tough.
Mark,
and then that's not a shot. You know, there's people watching. Oh, my Broncos, my Raiders. Now, what, the NFL is so competitive that the difference is a couple injuries. You go from 7-10 to 10-7.
That's right.
Okay. You know, God forbid Mahomes breaks a finger on his throwing hand. You know, fluke accident hits Joey Bosa's face mask. Okay, well, guess what? The Chiefs are going to lose a lot of games. So things change. But right now, when you're looking at these things, these are competitive teams. They're going to be good. Just because you win 7 games doesn't mean you're horrible.
No, and if you win 7 to 8 games, you're in the mix down the stretch. At some point, week 14, week 15, you still have hope.
You still have hope. You're playing meaningful football.
You are.
And you're taking strides in your program. Because it's year 2 for McDaniels.
Yep.
It's year 1 for Peyton.
Yep.
So you're building this for something different. Like Staley, his seat is sizzling.
Yeah, next to McDermott, it's got to be the hottest seat in the NFL.
It is sizzling.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that he has the resources and the money being put into the franchise that McDermott has had. McDermott probably has the hottest seat in football.
Absolutely. He's been there. He's never made it.
That's right. And Herbert is still, we haven't seen the contract yet for Herbert, right?
No, and that's been ongoing. Apparently, that has been a big deal.
And he's not worried about it.
He's not worried about it. He'll play.
But guess what? Josh Allen's already got paid.
Josh Allen's got paid. So for Herbert, I imagine sometime, I bet you, into camp, they announce a contract. And I bet you Burrow's is right after that. That won't be long.
Chiefs win the division.
Taking the Chiefs.
We'll see if this changes as we get a little closer to preseason. We're going to pause. We'll come back, talk NFC West. It's Drive Time Sports Football Tuesday. Back right after this.